This is Brendan Dillon, defenseman with the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaileprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
Okay, welcome back to the Front Row Podcast. It's Don Ross. Now joining me is Adam Huseman. How's it going?
Hey, Donald. I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Good.
And, I'm excited to watch these playoffs right now. The first round is always the best.
Oh, yeah.
And what a first round it's been.
Yeah, it has, yes. Yes, there's some good matches and some okay matches, so.
Yeah, well, the Winnipeg one, I think, was the most lopsided one, unfortunately, for us. I wasn't too impressed by Vegas, but no pun intended. I didn't think Winnipeg had a lot of pushback in that. And then we've had some other great series. I thought Tampa was the better team this year in the Toronto series, but Toronto won. I thought last year it was the opposite. I thought Toronto was the better team and Tampa won. That Carolina team is unhealthy and they're getting injured, but man, they're playing hard. They're playing good. Rod Brendamore is a hell of a coach. New York and New Jersey has been a hell of a series. I'm excited for game 7 on that one. And right now we're in a huge comeback for Boston, down 2-0 tonight in game 7, now up 3-2 with about, I don't know, 15 minutes left, 10 minutes left. So,
yeah. And, well, if Florida pulls off, it'd be an upset.
Oh, huge upset. A 63 win team going down in the first round. You know, they always say the President Trophy winners are cursed to win. But I'm kind of pushing for Boston here, but I'm impressed by Florida. They've put up a hell of a fight. And I think when Rick Bonus was talking about pushback, you can look at a team like Carolina with all their injuries, or you can look at a team like Florida, huge underdogs, but having a huge pushback.
And like Seattle's giving Colorado a run for their money.
Yeah, that's probably been the surprise of the first round. I thought Colorado was going to win in 5. I thought it was going to be easy, but I think we've been underestimating Seattle all year. They're a bunch of hardworking guys like Yanni Gord. Jordan Eberle is a great player, and a couple of their D-men, and they've been getting good goaltending by Grubauer, and that's all it takes.
Yeah, and I think Edmonton is playing Vegas next round, then that'd be a good series, and then Seattle or Colorado will play Dallas.
Yeah, so it's going to be a great next round. I think Connor McDavid, number one overall in the draft, 2015, with Jack Eichel, number two in the draft, facing off each other in that next round, I think will be a great battle. And right now I have Edmonton making it to the cup final if they can stay healthy. I think McDavid and Draisaitl have been unbelievable. They're kind of unstoppable. I think even in playoff hockey, Draisaitl's match how good McDavid is, which is hard to do. No one's even come close or been in that conversation. I think Ekholm's been a great pickup by Edmonton, and Evander Kane has really stepped up. So I really like Edmonton right now. I think they're going to beat Vegas in 6, even though Vegas has home ice advantage. And to be honest, whoever Dallas plays, Colorado or Avalanche, I'm taking Dallas. I think Dallas is underrated, and I think they're coming in, and I think it's going to be a Dallas Edmonton Western Conference final.
Yeah, and then, Carolina probably be there, and I have them going to the next round. Then I have, the Rangers going next round. Then...
Yeah, I can't believe it how injured Carolina is and how much they're pushing through right now. I kind of feel bad. I think they'd be a cup favorite if they were healthy, but I just, with the amount of injuries, I just can't see them getting through 4 rounds of this. Depending on who they play next round, it's going to be interesting, and we'll have to wait and see. But I think it's going to be Carolina and either Boston or Toronto. Whoever wins that Boston-Toronto series, I think will be in the Cup Finals. So.
Yeah. I think, like, they gave a statistic, like, Toronto is, like, 3-0 against Florida and, like, 2-1 against Boston in the regular season. So, but playoffs is a different game, so.
Oh, the playoffs are a different beast, 100%. So you never know what's going to happen. I think if Boston can survive this first round push by Florida, I like their chances. It's not over yet, so we'll have to wait and see. But Toronto and Boston will be a hell of a series, big rivalry, and we'll see what type of pushback Toronto gives. And they just have so much skill. So it'll be interesting. You know, the first round's been great. The first round's always great. And I think we got some second great matchups too. So as much as people make fun of this playoff series, the different divisions playing each other, 2 versus 3, and all these good teams getting knocked in the first round, I think it's great entertainment. So, you know, I think Gary Bettman gets a lot of tough criticism for his decisions. But to be honest, I like this playoff format. I think we have a lot of great first round matchups and a lot of good rivalries, and I think exactly what he wanted to accomplish is happening. So good for Gary Bettman, and good for the NHL. It's been a great first round.
Yeah. I'm more like the 1-8 type bracket.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the 1-8 is interesting for sure. But I'm liking the rivalries that I think it's starting to pick up. And if you look at it realistically, it would be a lot of the same matchups anyway. So, I think people are complaining. Personally, I would like to see them get to a 1-16 format. The top team in the league gets to pick who they get to play, just like in European leagues, 2 picks 15. And I think that would create a lot of rivalries. Because even though 1-16, it could be Boston, LA in the first round, so a lot of travel, that first place team gets to pick whoever they want to play. So if they want to travel, well, so be it. They get to pick it. And I think that would be very interesting. And then, you know, the rivalries as well. Well, what the hell, Winnipeg, we got picked by Boston. Screw those guys. Those guys want to play us in the first round, even though we finished 7th or 9th or whatever. So I think that would be very interesting and huge entertainment. And the TV value for the playoff draft would be crazy.
Yeah. And, like, Bonus's comments after the Jets lost there. Like, I agree with it, but I think it's a little too late. He should have said that something like back earlier in the season, so.
Yeah, there's no perfect way. There's pros and cons of everything, and I'm just enjoying this playoffs and just something I've thought about. But, there's pros and cons of everything, so it doesn't really matter to me. I've really enjoyed this round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's like 1-16 or 1-8, depending on how it is. Like, people like different things, so I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And what do you think about Fanatics being the jersey maker?
The new jersey maker for the NHL?
Yeah, Fanatics.
It doesn't really matter to me. I think Adidas has some nice jerseys. I'm sure these jerseys will be nice, but to be honest, it doesn't matter for me. Obviously, this is 100% a money decision by the NHL, and they just signed the bigger check. So it doesn't matter to me. I'm not too bothered by it. I think Adidas have beautiful jerseys, and I'm sure these will be nice as well. What do you think?
Time would tell. Each maker is different, so.
Yeah.
So, because you got your CCM, and you got your that made jerseys, you got Reebok, Adidas, so, and then you had Bauer, so.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
And then you had Nike's, who's doing, I think, Team Canada for certain events. And
yeah, some of the reverse retro jerseys are nice. I like those ones.
Yeah, and, I like the Jets one. They're, top notch, so.
Yeah. What do you think the Jets have to do in the offseason?
They have Four players, five players, UFAs next year. Like three, because Dubois is an RFA. So
lots of work to do.
Yeah. So out of the four I can think of, we should keep Dubois and Halle. So
yeah, Hallebeck's got to be the top priority.
Yes. You can stand it on Dubois because he's an RFA. And then Halle, he's a UFA, so you have to work on that as your number one, so.
Yep. So Chevy has a lot of work to do. I'm not too happy that they're bringing him back, but, they made the playoffs, so I guess what can I complain? I just wish they would swing for the fences a little more.
Yeah, and then the ice is doing well in this playoff, so.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, and those are tough decisions. That's why they get paid the big bucks. But I think in total, I thought the Jets season was a bit of a disappointment. Some of the times they just didn't show up in the second half, which was frustrating. But when you got one of the best goalies in the NHL, you got to compete for a Stanley Cup.
Yes. And so, yeah, it's... Chevy has lots to do, work to do, so if he has to go on the golf course with some of them to get a contract done, he should go on a golf course with them.
Yeah, you're totally right, Donald.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much, Donald. Take it easy, buddy.
Yeah, have a good day. And welcome back to the Front Row Podcast. Jamie's joining me today. How's it going?
Fantastic. Beautiful day today. Ready. I just watched Nikolai Ehlers in Denmark play this morning at the World Hockey Championships. Good to see Dennis Bayak calling that game. And Dennis just told me he had a quick chat with Nikolai. They haven't caught up for a while. So it's good, buddy. How are you? How's your day?
It's nice. I did some yard work and stuff around the house, so...
Mm-hmm.
So
what else is new? Like, it's that time of year where it's nice outside and you have to do all the yard work on top of it, so.
Yes. And I watched the ice last night, so.
Right.
So
good to see Brad Lambert, a couple of goals and evening the series. I think that's, when the Winnipeg Jets are out of the playoffs, these are the types of things we have to focus on. And like, it's always good to see the future is pretty bright with young Brad Lambert, who I thought is kind of struggled in the American Hockey League. And I thought it was the right call for the Jets to send him to the Western Hockey League. And I think he's fantastic for his development, especially, a possibility of even going to the Memorial Cup would help out. But to get to the Western Hockey League final is a pretty big step in his development.
Yes, and every player that plays in the junior leagues is kind of hoping to get that Memorial Cup under their belt. And there's not a lot of players that have a Memorial Cup plus the Stanley Cup plus an AHL,
Exactly. I agree with you. So it's just, especially all in one year to play, to go to training camp, have a pretty, a noteworthy training camp where you got a lot of attention. You see the skill that Brad Lambert brings, but it's to do that every day is a lot tougher than it looks. So it's, for him to get that opportunity to play in the American Hockey League, see what it takes to be a pro every single day and, realize the challenges of going up against men every day it was good for him. And then also to get that confidence going. Clearly, he has been dominant for stretches in the Western Hockey League with Seattle, and Seattle's been a contender all year long. I don't think there's any doubt about that. This was the right choice for Brad Lambert.
Yes, and the travel's a lot different down there, riding the bus, and playing different cities every second year, and.
Yeah, and the games, the American game in the American division. Are so good because the crowds are crazy. And there's a lot of rivalries between the U.S.-based teams and the Western Hockey League. So, and now you're in the grind of the travel, going from the furthest place in the Western Hockey League in terms of going out east to the, you know, obviously on the West Coast and the in Washington. So there's a lot of travel coming on right now, and it'll, the back and forth. But very interested to see how this turns out for both the for Brad Lambert and his development in a championship series.
Yeah, it's like for me, I would like to see him go on and develop more, get more wins under his belt. But at the same time, I'm as a Winnipegger, see the ice cliff earlier, right? So I was like,
yes. Yeah, there's, you can understand that. So the guy that works for the Winnipeg Jets, I'm more interested in Brad Lambert's, you know, development and how important this is for him. And so you're not necessarily, I'm not necessarily cheering for Seattle or Winnipeg. You're just more or less cheering for how this affects Brad Lambert in terms of his growth as a player. And that's certainly what, and obviously anybody that lives in the city of Winnipeg, you're excited for the ice. And, you know, Brian Munns is a friend, and, you know, you're excited for him, for his opportunity as well, too. So, but, yeah, this is, to me, the most important part is the Winnipeg Jets in this situation with Brad Lambert.
Yes. And, so hopefully he be Moose Jets more down the line. Hopefully, like, more with the Jets. Be like a top forward for the Jets, so.
Yeah, one day. And I mean, you know, to me, another year of seasoning is probably most likely for Brad Lambert next year, depending. Well, we don't even know what this roster is going to look like and how Brad Lambert fits into it right now. But as of this moment, it would make the most sense to me for Brad Lambert to spend, you know, maybe another year in the Western Hockey League, but certainly in the American Hockey League.
Yes. And it's going to be a long summer for Kevin to have a day off and the crew.
Yeah, for sure. I think we can look at it this way. It's probably the most important summer in the history of the Winnipeg Jets 2.0 edition. I know, you know, it took them a lot when once they took possession of the Atlanta Thrashers, the kind of rebuild was on there. Now it's just an important one. There's just some tough decisions that have to be made more than any other year with, you know, Brendan Dillon, Connor Hellebuyck, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, all in the final years of their respective deals. They're going to be unrestricted free agents. I know there's more than that in terms of that list of contracts expiring, but those are some pretty big names. And, you know, the direction of the organization is, I don't want to say it's hanging in the balance, but man, if you move any of those players or if at all, you know, the return hopefully is pretty good. And I can't see how you don't do that at this point, but we'll have to see. But, you know, no promises have been made. You know, I kind of talked about recently, it's tough to send out Kevin Cheveldayoff off a couple of days after the season ends because there's just so many, there's no answers at that point, right? You're not all of a sudden going to decide the direction of the organization 2 days after you've been eliminated by the Vegas Golden Knights. That's just not realistic. So for him to have to go up and, you know, face the music that way, you know, was tough because there's just no answers for him at that moment. He might have ideas, but he's certainly not going to share them at that time, when everything is so raw. So you've just had players meetings already. So we'll have to see what direction this goes, but it's going to be, they're not going to rush into it because it's just so important and where this organization heads, but it's by far, buddy, the most interesting offseason, I think, since the Jets came back to Winnipeg.
So, like, for me, I'm like an armchair GM, so.
So is everybody.
So everyone, yeah. So.
Yeah.
My priority who to sign first is probably different than someone else, right?
Right, so. Everybody's, and all that, and we'll hear that in a second from you, but I just think, you know, everyone has different ideas of what this is all going to look like. And, you know, we're all excited. We all are passionate about this team. We are all believe of the direction in our own minds, what they should do. But we always have to keep in mind what the reality is. Can you move player A for player B and get the return that you need back without hurting your hockey club? That's what has to be kept in mind here. You just can't trade or sign somebody because this is how you feel. You have to look at the long-term health of this hockey club. the Jets will always be competitive. To me, there's not a day with Kevin Cheveldayoff running the team and the management group that's together now, blowing it all up doesn't make any sense. So, the hockey fans here are passionate. I just don't think anybody – to me, blowing it all up and starting all over from scratch is a really hard thing to do because you can't keep your building full. I'm sorry. You just can't. People like hardworking teams. People like to know the future is there. But I just saw too many empty buildings this year where teams have decided to blow things up, like Chicago and San Jose. It just doesn't help your bottom line, especially when you're in the smallest rink of the National Hockey League. You already had a tough time last year filling the building. Getting to that point is a tough view. But tinkering here and there, changing a couple of faces here and there is a little bit more realistic in my point of view.
Yeah. So for me, like, my number one priority is probably be signing Hellebuck to extension.
Right.
So you have your nominee in him for this year's Vezina. So
of course
you need my number one priority to get him signed for 3+ years.
Right.
So and then you got Dubois, who's our RFA, so you got time to sign him. And then Dellin's probably be my number three on there. And
yep. Yeah, it is a tough decision to make. And if you're going on the culture side of things and you want to keep things going well inside your dressing room, I believe Brendan Dillon's like one of the best guys in that department in terms of competitiveness and play every night, plays your top four, but can still be a big part of your leadership group. That's a big part. And then building from the goaltender out is huge. Also, you kind of have to keep in mind, like Connor Hellebuyck has shown huge resiliency year over year, the ability to play 65 plus games without getting injured. So I think if you sign him long-term or 3 years plus, you're not going to be worried about him breaking down. So he's showing that he could play and handle all these minutes. And if you are going to change things, it's good to know that your goaltender is taken care of, right? You don't have to worry about that part of it. So I understand why you would believe that's priority number one. And you just don't want to have that question night in and night out about your goaltending, or can you survive, if you decide to move Connor Hellebuyck, you're going to have to find two goaltenders that are going to fight over being the number one netminder. So, but in terms of stability, Connor Hellebuyck likely is the best choice of those four players that I mentioned to be signed.
Yes. And, as someone, a goalie like Hellebuyck is kind of hard to find.
Oh yeah. Everyone always says, everyone likes to say they have a number one goaltender when they go 1A, 1B, but they don't have a number one goaltender if you're doing that. That's just, everyone brags about those types of things, but you just don't have it. You don't have a number one netminder, obviously. So we're seeing, throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs here, the importance of that number one netminder because of, Jake Ottinger is set number one in Dallas. Clearly, Philip Grubauer is the number one in Seattle. Both those guys have had off and off nights. And, you look in Edmonton, Skinner has been fantastic sometimes, but then he has that game where he lets in a goal. And that's where I think Edmonton's weakness is. And same with the Golden Knights. They're a fantastic hockey team that has to block shots because of the unreliable status of their goaltending situation. So it shows all over the league. Look at Boston. Linus Allmark was the best goaltender start to finish, stat-wise in the National Hockey League, but buckled in the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? There's just like, right, that is the sole purpose. Now, Sergei Bobrovsky is finally justifying his $10 million plus per year. That is why, and the Leafs didn't have stability in the net at all because of injuries, but I still don't think Samsonov was better at all ever than Bobrovsky. So there's just there's great examples throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs why you need a number one goaltender, or else you're not going to go far in the playoffs. And, we could the Leafs can sit there and point their fingers all they want on their core four group, their top four, but they didn't get the big saves. They didn't get a goaltending performance like Sergei Bobrovsky gave Florida throughout that series. So, I mean, everybody can be mad all they want. And yes, Auston Matthews can't go five games without scoring a goal in a series, but you need a goaltender to steal a game or two for you in a playoffs, and the Leafs didn't get that. So they can look at all they want, the coaching, the general manager, but if you don't have a number one goaltender, it's very hard to go far in the playoffs.
Yes, and your goalie is your last line of defense. Yep. So
100%.
So that's the thing. And then you got Wheeler and Shifley on their last year, and so you're looking at $8 million plus for Wheeler right now, and Shifley's six plus, and it's with I think both have no movement clauses in there.
Yep.
In there, so that's kind of tough to if you're wanting to move them. And
there has to be so we have to look at Blake Wheeler. Like every time you are set to write Wheels off, he was one of the best players in the playoffs. Like I don't think you can find anybody that can deny that, right? He's just, and one thing you with Wheeler is you can never look at him and go, oh, that guy didn't give everything. And he's the toughest guy out there. He'll play through injuries. It's been well documented. So it's like we all kind of look at things and go, okay, this, you know, some may say he's got to go, but there's also that fact that you know from a leadership perspective, that's where Wheeler gives his best. It's just that guy that goes out every single day, works hard in practice in every game. So that part, whatever you think of him as a leader, whatever you think of him as a player, there's a guy that's going to give you his all every single night and has given everything to the city. So that's something to keep in mind. With Mark Scheifele, you have to wonder, like he scored 42 goals last year. Finding somebody that scores 40 goals is extremely challenging, right? They're not just there. So at some point you have to get a good return if you're going to move on from Mark Scheifele, whatever you think of him whatsoever. The part is the return is the critical part, because that's what you're going to build your team off of at that point, right? So you're hoping to get a younger guy back, maybe a draft pick. Hard to say at that point what each team is going to do, but Mark Scheifele will certainly boost anybody's, you know, aspirations to win a Stanley Cup at this moment. And then we'll have to move on from there, but who knows, maybe a fresh start will be good for him too. But these are all things that people have to keep in mind. It's just not so easy. And I, you know, he was criticized for it, but Kevin Cheveldayoff was absolutely right. It's not fantasy hockey. You just don't throw picks out. You just don't throw this player in this trade. There are long-term ramifications of any decision that you make. So I applaud him for using the term. It's not fantasy hockey. When people think it's so easy to move on from certain players, to grab this, give up this draft pick, especially for a draft and develop team, Donald, this is what the Jets have hung their hat on for a long time. How do you think they got to be a Stanley Cup contender 17, 18, 18, 19? It was through the draft. So it's extremely difficult to just throw picks away for guys that just, you know, Timo Meier is a great example. The haul that the Devils gave for Timo Meier was next level, and they only got two rounds. Boston loaded up, got one, didn't even get past the first round. The Leafs loaded up, didn't even get past the second round. So there's a lot of things that have to go into these things. Boston and stuff, because their core group is really good, they'll be able to survive this and not have the picks. Tampa can go on without picks. They did the same thing. They gave up another, you know, they don't have, you know, first round picks. They toss it out like it's candy. That doesn't work here. That just does not work here, because it's, you want to be competitive year over year. There's a setback in terms of not having a first round pick years down the road that you have to think about when you make these deals to try and go for a Stanley Cup this year. So, excuse me. So that thought process has to be it right there. When you're a draft and develop team like the Winnipeg Jets are, it's a lot of thought process and the return, and your picks down the road in the draft. So,
and that's the thing, like Winnipeg is a hard, steady to sell to certain players.
Yep.
And
yeah, winning is being competitive team is your one thing you can hang your hat on, right? It's just like this with this team, this organization, you'll be treated well and you'll have a chance to win. That's what the organization hangs their hat on, right? So it's just like that's that's that you're right. It's I think we overthink it, that in terms of not being able to get players because they've shown they can when they've gone out to sign free agents. But the most important part of anything the Winnipeg Jets do is drafting and developing. That is the core group. That is why they have the core group that they have. That's why Josh Morrissey came from, Connor Hellebuck, the draft, Kyle Connor, the draft. So yeah. Their best players are guys that the Winnipeg Jets have drafted, flat out, hands down. There's no argument.
Yeah, all four lines are, majority of them are drafted players.
Exactly.
And yep. And you bring in like an odd piece guys, a fetching guy, and you're bring a couple of guys in, yeah, fill those little holes when you need it. And
yes, but brought in by trades too, right? So it's just like,
yeah,
it's
and trades, yeah,
you know, the timing of the trades when you need, you know, say for leadership wise, bring Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon. Yeah. Dylan DeMello's been a great ad. So they're and he, like, if you even look, Anton Moose had a great year this year. Or was there that one guy that set themselves apart to be called up in the National Hockey League this year? No. But it's full credit to what they did to remain competitive in the American Hockey League when the Jets had all the players and there were no call-ups. Like, their team, even with all the injuries, you know, Rick Bowness made sure they had 8 defensemen so you didn't have to go down to the American Hockey League, you know, over and over again. Fortunately, all the injuries were mainly up front. Well, not fortunately, but the injuries, majority were up front. So, and you had enough depth there to overcome that. And, you know, you go to the waiver wire, et cetera, et cetera. So a very interesting offseason is coming up, my friend, indeed, because, you know, there's, you know, Leon Gavank has moved on. So yeah, who's the next guy up? Likely Declan Chisholm, right? But Rick Bowness made clear early last year he's going to carry 8 defensemen. What are they going to do with Logan Stanley? There's a whole bunch of things, moving parts here that we can't even comprehend. Of the things that could happen or are going to happen coming up this summer.
Yes, and there's rumors out there that Logan Stanley asked for a trade at the trade deadline, and then he has that if he's willing to trade him in the summer for draft picks, yep, or bring someone in. And
yeah. Right. That's that. Or do they, you know, with a summer to talk with Logan and say, listen, it didn't help that you were hurt all year, right? It's just not like and every time that you came back, it's very hard to be out of the lineup as long as he was and to get your hands back, get your feet back and everything that made you successful. Because, and then the Jets didn't have that opportunity, Donald, to be patient with Logan because they were fighting to stay in the playoffs. So they just couldn't afford to have him have a couple off nights while he got his legs underneath. They had to remain competitive and put the best team out there. So it's just a lot of bad things going against Logan Stanley, not because of him or the way he was playing. They just couldn't afford the way, you know, earlier in the year, you could say, okay, come back in, we'll give you 4 or 5 games. They had 8 defensemen rolling for that reason alone, because they had to get 2 points. That was the most important part. And unfortunately, Logan Stanley fell by the wayside because of that.
Yes. And like, every team goes through a slump during the year.
Yep.
Like, some teams do
that slump, buddy. That slump was way too long, right? It's just like, yeah, there's, you know, you could understand where Rick Bowness is coming from when you're top of the division. You know, if the Jets would have got one more win before the All-Star break, Rick Bowness is coaching the Central Division. They were that high up in the standings. So from that, expectations go up. And Rick Bowness always said, we'll find out about these guys when things are tough. And there was just too long of a slide there. They just could not get out of it. It's almost like the confidence left them for a bit. And where they were extremely confident earlier. And the fascinating part of that whole thing, Donald, is they had massive amounts of injuries. You would have thought things would have fallen off because of everybody that was out of the lineup. But no, they kept it together. They played the majority of the beginning part of the season without Nikolaj Ehlers, one of their most electric players, and still managed to find a way to stay in first place or around first place in the Central. So you can understand why when Nikolaj Ehlers comes back and they're fully healthy, things just never seem to mesh together. And the old habits were creeping in. When I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, it just all fell apart at the wrong time of year, and they just couldn't seem to get out of it. And whenever they seemed like they were out of it, they would have a tough night like in Carolina. You know, you sweep the first two games in Florida in that road trip, and you play extremely hard, gritty game against the Florida Panthers and walk out of there with an overtime win, sweep Florida, which is the exact opposite of what happened the year before. You go into Raleigh and you lay up a stinker. Like that was the case all the last half of the season, except for the final homestand and that game against Minnesota. That's why you can understand where Rick Bowness is coming from. Because when they play well, they play Winnipeg Jets hockey, they look like that. They dominate teams on their home ice. They win a huge game where they stick up for each other against Minnesota to clinch a playoff berth. Like that was what you expected. Then they played a perfect game in Vegas. And then they play about a great period and a half in game number two and then kind of fall off. We probably wouldn't be talking as much about everything right now if game five didn't happen the way it did, right? There was just like nothing. It's like you're fighting for your playoff lives. I think if the Jets lose that game, buddy, they lose in overtime, they lose 2-1, they fight hard, I don't think those people will be as angry as they are right now. But just the way things transpired in game five, everyone forgot about the previous four games. They forgot about the earlier part of the season. They forgot about what it took them to fight to get to stay in a playoff spot. It was all gone because of 60 minutes of hockey. That's crazy when you think about it, because they played well through that whole series up until game five. And then just that's what's got everybody all worked up right now.
Yeah. And now they're going to look forward to the draft. And I think they'd be picked around like 17th, if I believe.
Around 18 or 19th, I think, or something. Somewhere around that area. Yeah. So we'll find out. I think top part of the draft is extremely loaded. It's kind of a crapshoot after the top 10 players. So, you know, you're going to find out what whatever player they end up getting in the first round is a little bit away from, you know, playing in the National Hockey League, but they're going to get a good player.
Yeah.
It's just where you're going. And if there's moves before the draft, if there's more picks coming, you never know, right? Like just who knows what happens before that, if they're going to trade at the draft or whatever, but.
Yeah,
we'll have to see, but it's a fascinating it's a draft with fascinating prospects, you know, throughout that first round. Of course, you're going to figure out what you have after that. But of course, the U.S. National Development Program is like sending them. It's like it's loaded that way. You know, Connor Bedard obviously is not going to be in the Jets' plans. Adam Fantilli, all those guys in the top five there. Matvei Michkov to me though is the most fascinating pick in there because. How far does he drop in the first round because of his KHL commitments and the fact that extremely challenging to see the Russian players this year, flat out, because of the situation over there. So to me, Matvei Michkov is the outlier here because he's an electric player, you know, just a guy that should have been in the conversation as number two, right from would have been number two if Russia plays in the World Juniors or, you know, Russia's taking part of international events, but so I'm curious to see how teams value him in the draft next month.
Yes, and it's a summer to look something to look forward to. What kind of draft are we going to have? Trades before and after, and
so. Yes.
You know, I wonder what's going to happen.
It will not be boring. Will not be boring summer, that's for sure.
And I wish I had a crystal ball I can look into and see.
You'd be a rich man then. You'd be a rich man, buddy.
Yes. And so what do you think about the Fanatics be not next year but the following season?
Just follow the money, pal. So whatever people offer up, and you know there's always this outrage about any type of change in anything in life, and then we'll all forget about it later, unless the jerseys fall off the players at some point. But so whoever offers the most money, you give us a half decent quality program, then you are our best friend. So that's what business is. Not personal, it's business. So I'm hoping that this reverse retro thing slows down. You know, I think it would be extremely exhausting to come up with a new jersey every year. I love the Jets last one. We talked about that at length. I like the gray ones before that. So it's really hard to see what else you can do with the jersey when you've done something 1,000 different times. I would just like to see home and away ones, Heritage jersey. Let's just move on with, stay with that and move on with our lives. A little bit more. Obviously, you had the Heritage days, which is great. So maybe, you know, 10 games at home with the Heritage, and then we can all have fun with that. But this reverse retro stuff is drying up. But I'll probably tell you next year when they come up with another one. I'll be like, oh, I love this one. So you never know.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Buddy, anytime. Always.
Yeah. And I enjoy your summer. Hopefully.
Yeah, you too.
Hopefully
I'll see you around.
Yeah. Hopefully you hit the links or fishing or whatever you enjoy.
Yeah. The best part of me, Donald, is I am terrible at outdoor sports. Awful. You would never want to go fishing with me. I'd be bored in 5 minutes. And golf, I'm like so bad at it that I want to leave after two holes. So never go golfing with me.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Thanks for coming on.
Can we still be friends?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, buddy.
Right.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at @PodcastFrontRow and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.